Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. At this point, hosted TOJ Pod, TOJ Talks. We're all over the place. And another podcast that's launching next week. So there's a lot going on. Luckily, a good friend of the show, Charles McDonald, is joining us, Yahoo Sports, exemplist on Yahoo as well. Charles, how are we doing, man?
Doing pretty good. Currently at my parents' place in Charlotte, just taking it easy for a little bit before I go back to New York for the draft. And yeah, I feel like we're kind of like in this weird lull period where, you know, the big waves of free agency have ended, even like the secondary waves of free agency have ended. So we're just waiting until the draft now, which is some of the worst time to be on the internet, I feel like.
I don't know what pod I was listening to yesterday, because unfortunately I don't even consume music anymore. I just consume numerous amounts of podcasts. I want to say it was Trevor and Connor's pod, and they were talking about like anything that's like, there's nothing to report right now. Unfortunately, it's just like this team likes this guy or this, this guy's jumping up draft boards, this guy's falling, and it's just usually a lot of bullshit. JJ McCarthy at 2, Jaden Daniels elbow, which I do want to talk about Jaden Daniels elbow because that thing is concerning. We'll talk about that at the end. I want to kind of get a good feel, obviously, not only have you covered the Jets, but you live in New York and you kind of have a good pulse of what's going on. What have you thought of this offseason so far? And obviously 2023, we talked, I think, in training camp last year. I think it was the day Corey Davis retired, who's now unretired.
That's right.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's not a big deal. Alan Lazard can fill in for a little bit. They'll trade for a receiver. Nope, didn't happen. But like, what's your kind of feeling having left 2023, where it's obviously a disaster, and then kind of going to 2024, feels like some of the good vibes are back, but people are just aren't really bought in. They're a little skeptical of kind of what the Jets naturally.
Well, you got to be skeptical at this point, because now your hopes rest on a 40-year-old quarterback just towards Achilles last year. So you have to be at least somewhat skeptical. I would say like if you're 100% all the way in, it's a little foolish to me. But there's still upside for, like, there's still reasons to be excited. Obviously, like, Aaron Rodgers coming back, if he's even like 80% of the guy that won the MVP a couple of years ago, or, you know, won back-to-back MVPs, then that's a huge plus. And the best Jets quarterback that I can remember seeing in a long time, probably. But, you know, I think as far as, like, you don't have, like, a whole bunch of cap space to work with. But I think that they've done a pretty good job based on what's been available to them. And I think getting Morgan Moses back is probably a pretty significant deal for their offensive line, as far as their hopes have gone. And, you know, I think that's partly praise for Morgan, partly praise for, or partly, you know, just, wow, last year was pretty bad. I'm a little iffy on John Simpson. If he can cut that on penalties, it's probably a positive signing. And, you know, Tyron Smith, like, to me, you're kind of in the same breath as Aaron Rodgers, was like, hey, if you can make it through a whole season, this is really good. But, you know, that's where you are. And that's probably where you are with Mike Williams too. Like, if you can make it through a whole season, this is really good. I think that they've made some good additions. They've made some strong, like, all-in additions as far as just getting these offense back up to speed where they can operate without needing Nate Hackett to be a genius for them, which I don't think is possible. It's still the same spot. Like, we still need a lot of things to go right and a lot of things to stand tall that haven't stood tall in a long time. But on paper, it's still a pretty talented roster, I would say.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, obviously we'll know more at the draft, and we'll talk a little bit about the draft here in a moment. But they're just in this spot where you don't need all of these guys to stay healthy in terms of, like, naturally guys will get hurt. It's just like, can you get avoid the serious injury? Can you get Mike Williams for 14 games? Can you get Tyron for 12 to 13? And you hope either a rookie or some combination of Carter Warren and Max Mitchell can just spell you for a month, whatever it may be. Or is it, you know, can you get Rodgers for 15? And, you know, Tyrod Taylor could go win you two games. Like, he's not going to win you, make, you know, win 12 games over the course of a season. But Tyrod could, you know, with a shitty Giants team last year, was able to still look like a competent NFL quarterback. And it's obviously a huge upgrade from Zach. So, you know, same thing defensively. It's like, can you just avoid the serious injury? The Jets don't need – that's been their problem. It's like, you know, AVT and Breece and Rodgers over the last 2 years, it's – they're guys it's really hard to replace, especially with the way this offense is built. Mike Williams is the interesting one because to me – I've said this before, like a joke, like he's always hurt, but doesn't ever really miss time until this year. It's like, he always would just be like, if you play fantasy, like Mike Williams drives you nuts. Cause every week he's questionable or doubtful and he'll play. And it's because of the style of play. And again, this is a weird comp and he's not Dwayne Wade, but it was like that early Dwayne Wade where it was like, he's so aggressive diving on the floor and like making these acrobatic plays. It's like just getting shit kicked out of you every single week. I guess, where do you still see holes in this roster? I usually look at, I need another pass catcher to me, whether it's tight end receiver. D-tackle to me and edge are still like, they're good, but like it's a calling card of this team and they've gotten worse there, in my opinion. And then safety, I still think they're a body short. Am I off base at all? And maybe in running back, there might be a body short too.
Yeah, running back's easy to, you can find someone because you're the main thing is still the main thing, right? Breece Hall is going to be getting almost all the carries and all the touches from the running back position, as it should be. So I wouldn't be really too concerned about that spot. I guess with running backs and with Breece, you know, you always need to prepare for an injury, but maybe that's not, you know, you don't need to do a heavy investment on that spot. I think I kind of feel similarly about defensive tackle where, dude, if you got Quinnen, DT, your second
defensive. Can you just get a little bit of consistency at Javon Kinlaw? Just yeah, something.
Something. Because the opportunities are going to be there for him. For him to be, you know, that second class, you know, athletic game record for the Jets. And, you know, I think that this could probably be a good landing spot for him because he might need someone that can really command double teams that allow him to take his, you know, athleticism to the next level. Because, you know, Eric Armstead is a good player. He's been a really good player for a long time, but he's not quite Quinnen Williams.
I was going to say that whole Niners D-line last year felt like, outside of Nick Bosa, I understand why Nick Bosa wasn't quite as good as he was the year before because he literally didn't practice until like the day before the first game in your body. You played too. Like, unfortunately, people don't like to realize this. We don't practice like ever. It's really hard to be good on game days all the time. But they all felt like they were like big names, but that Niners D line. But outside the Super Bowl, like the whole playoff run, I was like, is anyone on this defensive line going to hit anybody? Or are we just going to like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't know. I just to give Kinlaw even more of a, if you're hopeful, is it like Jermaine, JFM, and Quinnen? Like, you're literally the one guy that probably has some of the most talent, but no one's going to give a shit about.
Yeah, I think on the edge, that you need Will McDonald to take. Yeah. You need Will McDonald to either take a huge step or, you know, I think even the way that they play defense, you can't. I wouldn't fault them if they took a guy like round two or round three, just because. All right, wait, do they have the round two pick this year? No.
Rodgers. So,
Rodgers. Okay, but still, you know, I do think there's like some good like developmental guys, and I think with Saleh's scheme, it's like a defensive lineman dream, because just get up the damn field and hopefully your linebackers will clean up for you if you make a mistake there. But, you know, especially with Bryce Huff leaving to Philadelphia, they're probably going to need a big step out of Will McDonald, and I think Will McDonald, like if you watched his tape at Iowa State, he always was kind of a project. Like he never really, like he really didn't even play defensive end in college. He played more like, he's close to like a 240-pound defensive tackle.
Which was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Like two gapping.
Oh, I could do a whole podcast on how fucked up college football defenses are and how it's affected the draft. And like he's prime example. Also, there has been like no linebacker prospects worth a name since like Roquan Smith. And that's coming up on like 6 years now. So
yeah, he's on his second contract.
Right. He's on his second contract. So, you know, that's a whole nother podcast for another day. But I think just for the Jets' needs, if you can find a way to get you know, another quality pass rusher in there, which is easier said than done unless you're going to take a guy at 10, then, you know, this defensive line, as it's currently built, might just be what it is, which is still a good place to be. You know, a lot of teams would like to have every team in the league would like to have a Quinnen Williams. Most teams would like to have, you know, guys like Jermaine Johnson, John Franklin Myers, and even Solomon Thomas is still, I think, a quality rotational guy. It's just, you know, who's going to be the guy next up that can replace Bryce Huff production? Because even in a specialized role that he was, you could argue about whether that role needs to be expanded all day. But at the role that he was in, he was damn good at it. And that's the presence that you're going to feel not on the team anymore this year.
Yeah, I think it's just tough because if he had gotten Clowney, the combination of Clowney and Kinlaw, you know, mixed with Jermaine in year three and JFM fully healthy, like you could have replaced Huff. But, you know, I don't blame the Jets, by the way. They were never going to give Clowney 2 years. I'm shocked he took a 2 year deal just because he's a guy that's been kind of 1 year. I guess last year he got underpaid wildly. So maybe that's why, just in case the market changes and you get older, he's always like Clowney feels like a guy that is one more knee injury away from like not like he's a mercenary. So like once you get hurt, it could be over quick. But we've kind of talked about how like, look, there's not a lot of edge guys left. Like, I mean, your Falcons had Calais Campbell last year. I think the Jets thought they were getting him and obviously they didn't. Maybe he's the name you bring in and just another big body and say like, hey, can he give us 5 to 7 sacks next year? Maybe that's the move. But the only other thing that in my head is like with the limited cap space you have left, why not just like go pay Justin Simmons and say, listen, we're just going to have the best secondary in the NFL and we're going to try to help those guys. Like, or maybe it's Quandre Diggs, who is obviously not as good of a player and also might be slightly washed. I'm not sure if Seattle just misused him last year, but is it like, maybe that's the strategy. And you say Chuck Clark, Tony Adams and Simmons or Diggs is our safety room. We have the best corner room, in my opinion, in the league. And now we can compensate a little bit for losing Huff. Like that might be the next best move. Cause Simmons is still a really good player, and he's far better than any of the other edge guys on the market.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you got to figure out how you want to build this thing. I mean, I would say even right now, like, as the Jets defense is currently constructed, that's
it's not a huge – none of these are huge, huge needs. They're around the edge. They're, like, half a win worth, maybe.
You're still, like, you're still depending on some guys to get better from where they were last year, but still, like, I wouldn't say you have really any, like, hardcore pressing needs on this roster. Now, like, I think Diggs is interesting. I would be, I would feel pretty good about the idea to, like, add someone like Quandre Diggs just to compete for safety reps because I think sometimes teams find themselves, and I know this is really true for where the Falcons were, you know, especially towards the end of the Thomas Dimitroff and Matt Ryan run, where you get a little complacent with guys where you're like, okay, I've seen him have some success in the past. We're just going to leave him entrenched. When you really always need to kind of keep pushing guys by adding talent and trying to improve your roster. So they're still a good defense. Like if they walked out today with the guys they have, it would still be really tough to score on them. But, you know, you still got what? It's March 28th. So you still got like 6 months until the season starts. You can always tweak and add guys and try to make things work out. And, you know, we always see, you know, I think it's funny because, you know, when you're a fan and you're watching your team through the first portions of free agency, and they aren't striking in on the guys that you want, it's easy to get a little antsy. But there's still the draft. There's still 3 months after the draft before training camp starts to try and add guys. And once the June 6th window opens and, you know, the guys who were designated as June 1st, guys who were designated as June 1st, cap casualties, that cap space opens up in June. So you see another wave of signings then for guys who are still in the market. There's room and there's time for guys to join the team. And I think when you're looking at, you know, someone like Quandre Diggs, you're not really in a huge rush to go find a team. You got enough money where you can chill for a long time. So he might be even a guy that signs this summer where the team is a big boost. So I really do like where the Jets are. You just need a couple tweaks on defense.
Yeah, I talked about it before free agency opened. I feel like the Jets every year signed somebody right before camp. It was Quan Alexander, it was Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook last year was a disaster in camp. Dwayne Brown the year before came to the Jets scrimmage and signed that week. I feel like, you know, if you're Justin Simmons or Quandre Diggs, like, why are you? That's why I can't believe Clowney signed. He always skips OTAs and he usually shows up right at the start of camp, trying to eliminate these vets. Like, it's what they do. They know they can kind of play the system a little bit. The money's going to be there. Their contract offer is not changing that much. It's really like, where do I want to go? What holes? Someone could get hurt in OTAs. So obviously you can reevaluate there. I want to talk a little draft. The 10th pick, I know we were kind of joking about it before, and I've talked about this before, but listen, like, there's three very impassionate groups of Jets fans in terms of the 10th pick. It's, you know, trade down and take a Troy Fautanu out of Washington, who's kind of can play all five spots. And, you know, maybe it's that. There's the stay at 10 and draft a tackle, which I'm not faulting anyone for either of those things. I'm more in the mindset of, like, pass catcher to me feels like the biggest need. And the reason I say that is just, like, unless you're drafting a future left tackle, and maybe it's Olu or it's Joe Alter's there, like, is it worth the 10th pick? Like, I don't know. And in this receiver, these top three receivers and Bowers are like all the four of the six blue chip guys to me in this class. If you can find a way to get one of them, it's really hard for me to pass up on. Rodgers should get the ball out quick. And if you have those demons at receiver and a running back, like, this offense should be pretty good, even if the O-line's not incredibly good. I don't, am I off base there at all?
I mean, it all depends on Aaron. Like, if he's good to go, the offense should be fine. It's not the best offense line in the league. There is no way they're going to go from what they did last year to probably, like, a legitimately good offensive line. But it's it should be functional with the pieces they have in place, especially if Tippmann can make another step next year. That's always, like, a piece of hope. You know, it's just... I like the word that I keep coming back to when I think of the Jets offense is just fragile. Like, you're on paper, it might be the best offense. No, not the best offensive division, because the Dolphins are still there. But it's much improved from last year if Rodgers is there. It's just, you know, is Mike Williams going to stay healthy? Is Tyron Smith going to stay healthy? Is Reese going to stay healthy? Is Aaron going to stay healthy? You know, that's really the only, you know, concern that I have with the Jets offense. I would imagine you're probably not as excited as you were this time last year, because you watched Nate Hackett kind of do nothing to help you all season. So it's still probably going to be a player-led movement. But the players you have on roster are still pretty good. I would still probably be trying to, you know, if you're all in with this Aaron thing, why not draft the offense at 10? I don't know. To me, That seems like pretty obvious on what to do, unless – you feel a little bit concerned about where Will McDonald is and you draft the edge at 10.
Yeah. The one thing I think I talked a little bit about this yesterday, but here, my thing is, like, let's just say Rodgers plays 2 years. That's what he said he's going to play. So I'm going to hold Rodgers to what he said, which is probably a mistake, but we're going to do it anyways. If you play two more years, you're likely bringing a rookie quarterback in 2026. And I know it's hard to think that far out, but if you draft an offensive core playmaker at 10 this year, Garrett, Breece, that playmaker, some form of Conk and Rucker, like, that's a really good group for a rookie quarterback to come into. And, like, those guys should be at their peak of their powers with a rookie quarterback coming in 2 years. And I know it's not important, because if you don't win this year, like, no one gives a shit anyways. But my point is, it's that to me is, like, setting you up for near term. Like, we've seen receivers and tight ends come in year one and be awesome and help teams go on playoff runs. And B, like, long-term, you'd have a demon of a pass catcher as a top 10 pick on a rookie deal. Garrett's on a second contract. Breece on a second. Like, I feel like you're just in a good spot. Obviously, you're a big Georgia football guy. Where are you at with Brock Bowers? Because everyone just, I swear, like, you cannot get the same consistent answer on this. Some people think he's a top five player in the class. Some people are like, he looks short next to Gronk, who's literally, like, the biggest tight end ever. So I don't really know why that's a conversation. But
yeah,
what do you make of Bowers overall? You watch him every single play he's had for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. He's one of my favorite Bulldogs ever. Man, I'm much closer to say he's a top five player in the class than anything else. And I feel like people just get caught up in, like, you know, what should a player at X position look like physically look like? And I understand, like, he's not your prototypical tight end size. He's, you know, 6'3". He measured in at, like, 243. So I'm imagining he plays close to, like, 230, 235 during the season. And, you know, physically, he is kind of like a tweener tight end, a wide receiver. But then you just watch him run, bro. Like, he is so damn fast. I think he's going to have, like, you know, him and Amarius Mims are going to have their dual pro day you know, sometime mid-April, a couple of weeks before the draft. And we'll probably get a time on him there. But, dude, he played everywhere for Georgia. He played tight end, played in the slot, played outside sometimes. He was a pretty significant part of their run game some years where they were keeping on reverses and letting them make explosive plays down the field that way. And, you know, I think when you're trying to decipher, like, what Bowers is, maybe it's not, like, the cleanest, like, one-to-one comparison for an NFL player, but, like, just look how much they try to get him the damn ball and how many, you know, different ways they try to get him the ball. And I think he showed, like, some big-time wide receiver, you know, not wide receiver skills, but, like, just pass-catching skills in general. So I'm still super bullish on his game. I think if you could get him at 10, I think that would be a home run. And especially if we're just talking about being all in for the year, I can't think of another player that is like, we are all in on trying to win a Super Bowl this year than Brock Bowers, because I think he's got a high floor. The ceiling's high. And like, if for an offense that already has Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Mike Williams, I think Brock Bowers is kind of like the last missing piece if everyone can stay healthy.
Yeah. And look, I think there's a strong argument to have Bowers, and I know Connor Rogers just used the term, you're kind of getting eating your cake before you kind of have the rest of your, you know, your dinner. And in terms of like trying to go tight end or receiver over a line, and I get that 100%. But like you said, I don't know. You know, Rogers doesn't throw over the middle of the field a lot, but when he does, it's because he implicitly trusts somebody. And I think like there's a world in which Conklin, you run 12 personnel and Conklin's like your 0 to 6 yard guy, just like security blanket outlet. Bowers operates in that 6 to 12 yard window, Garrett 12 to 20, and Mike Williams 20 plus. And it's like, we've got all four levels of the field covered. We have Breece as a check down. Our offense should be really, really good. And even if Aaron's like slightly washed, which I don't think his arm doesn't look washed. I think it's more of a like, can he move around the way he used to, which I think is the one thing that no one's really talked about. That's the one issue. Rodgers used to scramble a lot and like make a lot of plays with his legs. He just obviously doesn't do that quite as much anymore, but he doesn't need to quite as much if you've got all those different types of pass catchers. I want to ask you a little bit about this top 10, because I think obviously kind of plays into the same conversation, right? Like, who's going to be there at 10 for the Jets? And that's kind of a big talking point, because you know, you can run a million simulators and there's a different guy. Rome's there sometimes, Bowers is there. Like it doesn't really matter. I think the Falcons are a prime, like, if the Jets wanted to trade up for a receiver, they're going to have to probably go over the Bears. And I think the Falcons, like, are probably getting the same player. They're going to get an 8 that they get a 10 if they want to go defense. And they can just probably pick up a third-round pick, fourth, or whatever, future 2, future 3, whatever it may be. Do you feel that way about the Falcons? And is there any other spots in the top 10 you expect to trade back or be a potential trade-back team?
I think New England, that gets a little dicey because they're in the division. But there is precedent for it, where the trade that the Vikings and Lions made a few years ago for Jameson Williams. So it's not like totally, totally uncharted territory there. For the Cardinals, unless they're locked into taking Marvin, which is not a bad idea at all, then, you know, I think that they're a trade down spot. The Falcons are an interesting one, because I think they still want to be able to add like a top player, especially on defense. But you know, if you can move back a couple spots and pick up like a, you know, a fourth or fifth round pick, then I don't think that's a bad idea for them, and they're not hurting for like they kind of are. I was gonna say they're not hurting for wide receiver talent, but you know, Drake's great, Mooney's fine. I guess it really just matters on how much Kirk Cousins can pull out of Kyle Pitts and get that thing going for them. But I think for the Falcons, like being able to trade down from 8, I think if one of the quarterbacks falls out the top 5, the Falcons could be a prime spot to trade up for them for. But you know, even if you're the Jets, right, and you're the Mike Williams thing is probably not a long term play. It's probably more, you know, we're in it for this year. We'll see if he stays healthy. But if you want to get up to 8, and like let's say Malik Nabers is falling or Romo Dunes is falling. And I know people will look at me and say that's crazy, but it happens in the draft every year. You know,
it happens every year.
Every single year. Not every team decides they want a wide receiver. There's a shitload of good offensive tackles in this class. Like we said, Brock Bowers in this class, he's still someone that can factor into the top 10. You got quarterbacks. Someone's going to be there at 8 that would make you really, really excited, or really even 10, I think. I think this is a really strong draft at the top. And I say this from sitting in like a similar type of view where you had a team that wasn't all that good last year, but now all of a sudden has a veteran quarterback. You know, I think that, you know, having a quarterback already walking into this class is pretty exciting. So, you know, if the Jets are going to be a team that wants to trade up, I think the Falcons are an opportunity. I think the Giants are an opportunity because what works in the Jets' favor this year is a team that trades down. Like, you also have to factor in the available talent to the spot that you're moving down to. And 10 is still a great spot to grab someone. And also trading up into the top 10 is a great spot to grab, like, a truly dominant wide receiver one. So if you're looking into the future and you can say, oh, we have Garrett Wilson and Romo Dunes, or we have Garrett Wilson and Brock Bowers or something like that, Garrett Wilson and Malik Nabers, you know, that automatically becomes a pretty enticing place for quarterbacks to want to come play.
So one more question on that. I just want a couple of random around the league questions. The Chargers call you at five. You call the Chargers at five, and they say we want 10, your second four, and next year's two or next year's one, and you're going to get Marv. Do you do it?
Well, the Jets? If I'm Joe Douglas, hell yeah. Because that might not be those draft picks that I'm spending might not be mine, you know?
Yeah, because... yeah, I'm racking up the credit card bill, bro. I'm not right, paying that.
Right. Yeah, you know, I'm racking up the credit card bill on something tragic's happened. Now my kids got to pay it off for me. Like, that could be the situation that Joe Douglas is getting. So, dude, if I'm Joe Douglas, I'm not thinking about next year. If I make it to next year, I'll think about it then. But for now, I'm trying to get as many quality players as I can. And dude, if Marvin's there at five, and I don't know if you saw Jim Harbaugh's.
Jim Harbaugh's O-line thing too.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh's O-line thing. I really don't think they're going to be taking wide receiver.
I think they want to trade back. They've always built it. He's built it at Michigan. It's inside out. He built it in the Niners. Like, they never had the star guy. I didn't feel like it was always like a roster of just like insane guys with like a solid quarterback, and they just would win every year.
It was
The reason I asked you is because your team did this for Julio, and it was like, oh my God, it's worth it 10 times over. He made Matt Ryan win an MVP. Like, I'm not giving Kyle Shanahan all the credit. Julio was a demon.
Dude, yeah, and from day one. And honestly, man, the NFL draft is such a crapshoot that the more I look back at the Julio trade, and especially, you know, it was the mid 2010s Browns. So they missed on literally every single pick that they got back from the Falcons, which is
they didn't hit on a single one.
They literally did not hit on a single one. But you know, if you're looking at this as a crapshoot and dart throws, dude, if I can go get someone who everyone agrees is like one of the best players in the draft, and for Marvin, to me, he's the best wide receiver prospect, like, or he's in like that AJ Green, Julio Jones tier, and I'm Joe Douglas, and I know that I'm like, you know, potentially nine months away from never working as a general manager again, then yeah, I'm making that trade to go get Marvin. We're going to set a super duper high floor for ourselves this year. And then if I make it next year, great. If I don't, well, they're not my picks to make anyways.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anyways. I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned New England there, Washington, New England, and then Arizona. There's a three. I think the draft starts at two, obviously. I think Caleb's clearly the best quarterback in the class, in my opinion, and it's been that way for a while. I think everyone got bored and, you know, and whatever. I'm not going to get into the pink phone case and the nails, and that's pretty much par for the course on anyone who's followed Caleb. Like, he's a millionaire in LA, and he's doing millionaire in LA things, and like, you should get over it. He's amazing at football, and his teammates love him.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jay Daniels' elbow is hard to look at.
I don't understand how it's built.
It looks like an action figure, like a G.I. Joe action figure where their arm bends and like it's weird.
I compared it. You ever watched Hey Arnold before?
Yeah.
You know, Grandpa's chin?
Like, yeah, how it's literally what it looks like.
That's what it looks like to me. His elbow looks like Grandpa's chin. Yeah.
So I asked you that because I don't see top two overall pick from Jaden. I think he's a good prospect.
Neither do I.
I think Mike Renner said this yesterday, and I didn't even think about it until he said it. he's like, there's two or three Jaden Daniels every year in terms of like that quality of a quarterback prospect.
These guys are not rare. Like,
no, Caleb's rare to me. I don't think any Drake's borderline with some of the traits, but I don't think he's fully rare. And then I just Nix, Penix, McCarthy. Like, I don't know. We see these guys every year. Am I crazy here? Like, four in the top six, like, is a lot.
Well,
I mean, I know they're going to go there.
Dude, maybe not, though, because we do this all the time. You know, we
Will Levis it too.
Right. Okay. How about this? Do you remember the Willis Ritter draft, like one of the last mock drafts?
I was going to blow my brains out listening to Malik Willis might go one. Like, no, he's not.
But even like 2 weeks up into the draft, there were mock drafts from very credible draft people that had him in the top five. So, and then he ended up going round three, like late round three. So, you know, I think just about anything is possible for the quarterbacks, but we do this a lot where, okay, because I remember even at the Lawrence Zach Wilson draft.
You mentioned his name.
But you know, looking back at the mock drafts, people were saying, oh, the first four picks could be quarterbacks. It never happens. So, you know, I think you could get creative through the Jets. Like if someone falls to 10 and, you know, let's say the Raiders want to move up to your spot. Like you could theoretically still get a pretty good player at 13, but I think you're trying to move up if you're the Jets. But as far as the quarterbacks go, I don't like the Jaden Daniels thing. He's a fine prospect. To me, taking him number 2 or like if I'm the Patriots starting a rebuild with Jaden Daniels, that sounds crazy to me because there's no way he's not good enough to truly.
He's not CJ Stroud. We need to stop. No,
he's not. He's not. And you don't have to be. But I think when you take someone that high, you have to assign the expectations of like a number 2 or number 3 overall pick, which might not be fair to, you know, the actual caliber player that he is. Have you seen the Michael Penix 40 stuff today?
I did not. But I know he verted 36 and a half. I did not see his 40.
Apparently, he ran anywhere from a 4.46 to a 4.59.
So if Penix's medicals, the only thing with Penix that's confusing to me is this, is like the medicals apparently checked out in Indy, which I don't know that I didn't think there was like previous stuff. I mean, I didn't think there was current stuff. I think it's like his body's really brittle. And like, look, the Dolphins took 2 in the top 5 with 5 major surgeries before he got drafted. And like, they've had the highs and lows of it. When Tua is healthy on the field, he looks fine. And when he's just hurt a lot. So the thing with Penix is like his arm is sick. Like he has like a really insane arm. But I don't know. The national championship game scared me a little bit because I felt like when everything's not perfect, he's not like the same athlete he was when he came out of high school. And it's kind of like, I don't know. He has to go to the right place. You know, it's like, I don't know. All these guys, these top other 4 guys or 5 guys all have like huge red flags to me. Like McCarthy cannot throw left and has never been asked to really do anything. And when he has, he's like fine, but like he can only throw right. Penix has had 2 ACL surgeries, 2 shoulders, and he's 25. Bo Nix is 42 years old and doesn't throw a spiral. Like, you know, you can pick these one holes. Jaden Daniels runs like a cartoon character and he gets blown up like constantly in college, which means in the NFL, like have fun getting speared by Quincy Williams. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And Drake May, like, sometimes just misses stuff where you're like, dude, how did you miss that? Look, Caleb, Caleb's got his own small things, but the talent is so ridiculous. I know why people love the quarterback class, and I'm not saying I don't. It just doesn't feel like it's quite as good as we made it seem like 2 or 3 months. Maybe I'm in that boredom phase we talked about to start the show, but it just, I don't know. I feel people are. New England's going to take one of these guys, and I would just trade back and pick up 3 first-round picks and say, like, these guys are all in the first year. Mayo, the GM, the co-GMs and stuff, like, they have time to be bad. It might as well get all these picks and take dart throws. You can take a quarterback at 11. You could take Penix at 11 if you wanted a quarterback and have 23, you know?
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out and really how teams value, like, the skill sets these guys have because – honestly, like seeing Penix today run a 4.4 potentially, that seems ridiculous to me. Like watching him play, he never like. I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't see 4.4.
No,
maybe he's 2018.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. It's an interesting spot that they found themselves in with this quarterback class. But hey, my team doesn't need one yet. Yeah. So
I was gonna say, how are you feeling with Kirk?
Yeah, he's fine. It's good enough. It's a lot better. It could be fun. Like I'm expecting them to score touchdowns again.
They just scream like the most fun 9-8 or 10-7 team in the league.
I will take a 10-7 wild card loss. It's been a long time since they played in the playoffs at this point. Because they haven't played in the playoffs since, and I know I'm talking to the choir here, but the Falcons, they haven't played a playoff game since Nick Foles' Super Bowl year, which is, you know, slowly inching towards 10 years.
Yeah, it's, wow, that is, and that's the famous Julio goal line fade. Did you watch the Dynasty? The Patriots?
I don't care about that.
I will say the man in the arena was like cool because like it's like all like, I mean, obviously it's frustrating because all these things happening against the Jets. So like a lot of it's frustrating. If you're a Jets or a Colts fan or a Falcons fan, like it's just not a fun watch. But I will say the Dynasty like definitely shit on the Patriots a lot more than I was expecting. And they're all really mad about it. And Bob Kraft is like really big mad about it, even though he produced it. So I don't really feel bad for you. He made Belichick look like the worst human being on earth. I will say the Falcons Super Bowl, like they dramatized Scott Pioli, like basically not being excited in the booth up 28-3 because Brady's like going to come and get them. And I was like, dude, we're not doing this. Like you guys all thought you were winning that Super Bowl and I don't blame you. I think everyone in the world thought they were winning that Super Bowl. Does that still haunt you? Is that the worst moment as a sports fan for you? Probably. It's up there, right?
Oh, yeah. Nothing
will ever top that.
Nothing tops it.
Like Robert Alford just returning that. I was like, it's over. Thank
bro,
God.
Bro, whenever I'm with any friends, media members, former players that are related to the Falcons in some way or just a fan, it always comes up. Like you like me, my boy Joe, who works for Vox Media, he does like the Beef Rewind videos for, you know, Secret Base over there. When we hang out in a sip of beer touches our lips, we're talking about that damn Super Bowl. Like, so I'll never get over it fully. Like I've accepted that they're just losers and that's fine. Like I will never get my hopes up again for another run. But yeah, if we could get back to looking like a functional offense, that'd be fine. That's a fine place to be for me.
I want to ask you last two things here. One fun, one not more serious. But is there a team this offseason who you either expect to have like, who's your wild card? I guess going into the draft, like who's the team you're just sitting there like, this is I'm excited for this team, or like I feel like they're going to do something crazy, or like for whatever reason. I know you hate the Saints so much, and this is they're going to do something stupid. I just know.
No,
I just,
yeah. I was literally about to say the Saints are a team because they're just in no man's land as far as roster building is
concerned.
The
worst place to be in the league.
Dude, because they've, you know, because this goes back to like cap space arguments on Twitter where, you know, Saints fans will be like, oh, we did it again. We got underneath the cap. But like, dude, the quality of the players have to matter at some point, you know? Like, yeah, you became cap compliant and you have the same team as last year. Which wasn't good. And now with the, you know, the restructured Derek Carr, you have to basically commit another season to him just to get underneath the cap. That's not good management. It's just the management that you have to do, or else you get fined. Like if you don't do these things, you can't play in the league. So I don't know.
I was going to say the one thing, and I've seen this a lot on Jets Twitter, is like, oh, what if we don't trade for Rodgers? What if we sign Derek Carr? And I was like, dude, I would take the Rodgers trade 100 times out of 100, even if he doesn't even play a snap for the Jets, over committing 5 or 4 years to Derek Carr and having to watch. Like, it's almost the what if of Rodgers is almost like kind of so tantalizing of like, oh, dude, if he comes back, it's really good. Part of it's just like, oh, we had shitty luck. Where's Derek Carr? I don't know, man. Like, I'm so thankful the Jets did not sign Derek Carr last year. I think that would have been an absolute disaster. Am I crazy? Like, I know Rodgers has his issues. But, like, the idea of Aaron Rodgers is worth so much more than, like, Derek Carr throwing for 19 for 37, 305, one touchdown, two picks, and, like, three times getting yelled at by everyone on his team.
Yeah. There's a lot better. Hold on. I lost my train of thought there.
I was just saying Derek Carr sucks, and the Jets dodged a bullet. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, remember one of the funniest things from last offseason was when it got out that the Jets apparently told Derek Carr that he could be a Hall of Famer there. I'm like, hey, Joe Douglas, you don't believe that. Robert, no. You don't believe
Robert
that.
Robert Saleh did his best politician. That should have showed you that they could snake oil salesman with that pitch. That was insane. And
it shows the desperation too, you know.
Yeah. It's just now, yeah.
But I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you draft a quarterback at 10?
So if I know, the reason I say no is because you're not getting a unicorn guy, and I feel like then you're waste. Like, if I guess this is the argument the Packers probably had. I can understand. I understand if the Jets traded back, and then, like, let's just say they traded back with Minnesota, and for whatever reason, this will never happen. They got 11 and 23. Maybe I'd consider it because at least you could get an impact player, and then maybe you take like the developmental Jordan Love type of guy. But I don't. Just with 10 on the board and not having another pick until 72, and knowing like you're all in on all these guys, I just think if you take a quarterback here, you hope he doesn't play for 2 years. And then it's like by the time that happens, you're going to have to start to – his clock's already too far down the road, and you're going to have to pay Brees, Jermaine, Garrett, Sauce in 2 years. I don't know. I just – I can't see it. Like I know people want it, but no. I don't. You wouldn't either, right? Or
I mean, if it was my first year as GM, I might consider it, but probably not. Like, yeah. I think
– Joe Douglas just can't do it.
He's not in a spot where he can do it. I think in a different world where – you know, you have a younger GM or someone who's like in their first year of the team, maybe you've considered trading up for a quarterback, but we got to save jobs, buddy.
JJ McCarthy sitting
on the bench for a year is not going to save my job.
JJ McCarthy is just going to be a giant. It's going to happen.
Yeah. It does seem like they're loading up to take a quarterback.
Yeah. Last question here. Is Antonio Brown the wildest Twitter follow we've seen in a long, like he is, it's insane.
As far as like,
we're not going to get ourselves in hot water here.
We're not going to get in trouble. Look at the account. I will say, I do think he's in the pantheon of like crazy athlete Twitter accounts, and you know, I think especially with former football players, this can be like, you know, thin ice that you're walking on because you could say something that is medically insensitive to maybe the physical trauma guys have endured in the league, but it's like up there with Larry Johnson. Like his dude, I don't know if Larry Johnson's still tweeting, but when he was real active on this website, bro, man, I learned more about like satanic rituals and Freemasonry than I ever wanted to know. On the internet. And then, you know, but like the problem with AB is I am pretty sure he has someone like running his Twitter account.
It has to be. There's way too much like creativity with some of this stuff.
Yeah. And I think Antonio Brown is more, and I hate that I even know this stuff. I hate that I know this stuff, but like, I think he's even more active on the CTE SPN account, where they report, like, every once in a while, like, he'll report some news, which is, like, not surprising that he would know these things because players talk, you know. Players know what's going on, and they're just not newsbreakers, so they don't care. But Antonio Brown, I guess, is tweeting some stuff, like, you know, the Russell Wilson, and he tried to get into an argument with Schefter, and he posted that, too. But I think on the actual AB84 account, I think someone else is running that and just kind of stealing memes and jokes off the
internet. Yeah, Brady doesn't run his own account either for people that thought he got really cool after he left the Bucks.
But, you know what have to be fun about running the AB84 account is, like, you have such a long leash to fuck up.
I was going to say, you really can't get canceled.
you can't do anything worse than he was posting already, like, where he was posting – like AI pictures of him kissing Taylor Swift, or
that was insane.
Tweeting about Giselle, Tom Brady's ex-wife. Like, dude, Tom lets you live at his house, and I'm sure that was not a popular decision with his wife.
I'm sure Tom wasn't happy about it either. That dude was just obsessed with winning a title.
Obsessed with winning, to the point. So yeah, I think AB, Larry Johnson. I was gonna say Chandler Jones, but not him, because that was something much darker. But I think those two guys are on the pantheon of like, what the hell are you posting on social media?
Chandler Jones being butt naked on his Instagram was one, and flashing the mirror was the craziest thing. He's a crazy. And I was like, yo, dude, need help.
He said that Josh McDaniel had Aaron Hernandez kill. Like, okay. Like, this is someone who should not be on the internet right now.
I will say, Aaron Rodgers definitely uses his own account. And if you want to go down some a deep dive into his likes, it is
it's just brain poison in there.
It's the one thing that's like, and this is the last thing I'm going to say on Rodgers for a while, but I will say that like most of this stuff is very harmless, and like if you just ignore it, if you don't agree with it, just ignore it, because that's most conspiracy theories are like some of this stuff. If people were affected by it, 100% I understand people getting upset about. But I will say is like, I don't understand why people were so upset about the VP thing. It was so clearly a publicity stunt and so clear. Like, he went on a podcast the day before and was like, I'm playing 4 more years. And then people were like,
well, what's the bigger lie? 4 more years or no VP run?
Yeah. Well, he said 2, 3, or 4. And I was like,
okay,
wait, now we're doing, because 4 would be to plead guilty at least 4. I don't want, this is my last thing on Rodgers. If anyone thinks that he does not compete with Brady in every way, of the fact that Brady played till 45 and that Brady was like, took the pay cut, and no one, Rodgers never did that. He took a pay cut. Now he's saying 4 more years, which would put him at 45. He changed his whole body. He stops powerlifting this offseason. Like, I don't know, man. Don't tell me that he does not watch everything Brady did.
No, I think he wants it. I do actually think Rodgers wants this. I think he wants this to work out with the Jets. I also think he probably just needs to zero in.
Yeah, zero in. He needs to go full LeBron, zero right. Dark 30.
Because I would say that it's 100% impossible to be considering a vice presidential run while also being a quality quarterback in the NFL. There's only 24 hours a day. All right, you're spread too thin.
And if you spend 8 hours on YouTube, then there's really only 16.
Right. So I'm gonna go out to practice. I'm gonna throw 5 routes to Garrett Wilson. I'm gonna get on the phone with RFK Jr. I'm gonna spend the rest of the time looking up, you know, CMOS videos on YouTube. So look, I do think it was funny to consider the idea that Rodgers would be RFK's vice president, but. Like I said, there's literally just not enough time in the day to do both. And I think it's probably better for him that he doesn't get in front of a mic where like real reporters can ask him questions instead of, you know, chuckle fucks like me coming to practice, you know, every once in a blue moon.
That was going to be my last question, is who does Javon Kinlaw pop off on? Because I've referenced this video and I love the guys in the Jets beat. Like, awesome. They're great. This is not a personal thing, but my gut feeling is it's Costello or Samini.
Mine was going to be Samini.
Yeah, for sure. I think Rich is going to be like, Javon, like, you haven't had a sack in 6 weeks. And he's going to say some crazy. I mean, what he said to, I don't even know the dude's name.
Grant Cohn or something like that.
It's one of the best, like, shit-talking videos I've seen. It's so uncomfortable. But I feel like it's got to be Rich, right? He told Grant Cohn his balls were shriveled up and... I don't know. It was a lot. I mean, he probably was right, but no.
It's Rich, because Rich's best quality is he doesn't really care if people don't like him. Like, he really doesn't care.
He beefs with Revis, Bart Scott. Like,
that's what I'm saying, man. Like, and he'll go in there and he'll know someone won't like him, and he'll just go in there and do his job and ask a question. So, I would say it's Samini, and I think he'll handle it perfectly, and it will be a great moment for Twitter and for us to laugh and then just move on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's the way it's going to be. Obviously, we kind of went a little off the rails there the last 10 minutes, but it's the way it is. And honestly, it was hysterical. So we're going to roll with it. Appreciate you hopping on. As always, make sure you guys are following Charles, obviously, on Twitter, Exemplist on Yahoo Sports, all your work at Yahoo, obviously. And keep dominating. We'll have you on again soon.
All right, brother. Thank you.